Well, have you been blessed all week long? I'm very excited about what God's going to be doing here in the life of the children's ministry at the church. And so if you know of someone with children, maybe they've been kind of lingering around, hey, now's a great opportunity to get plugged into the life of the kids' ministry. God's doing a new thing, and we're very, very excited about that. Everybody say, this is love. Come on, this is love. This month, we're going to focus on the teaching theme of this is love here in Loxley Church. Each service will be emphasizing something very, very special about love. Everybody say, love. Okay, and so today we're going to get this month started with our series theme this morning by talking about the love of God. How many realize this morning that God's love never fails? And there's something very specific that I want to kind of point out in the series today about the love of God. And there's something very, very peculiar about God's unfailing love toward us. And that is simply this, that no matter how many times we need forgiveness, God is faithful to forgive. Amen. How many of you are grateful for the forgiveness of God? See, he forgives because he loves so much. And there's a couple of reasons why I think it's important that we start this month right here talking about this theme of great love with God's unfailing love. For two reasons, really. Number one reason, I know that there are some people here today who need God to forgive them and help them to experience his love all over again. How many of you can say along with me, sometimes I've needed more than one chance with God? How many of you are grateful that God loves to give him more than just one chance? He's also the God of second chances. Aren't you glad about that? Are you like me, that you're glad he's the God of third chances too? I don't know about you. Amen. Amen. But there's another great reason why I'm beginning here this month, and that's simply this. Not only do we need to be reminded of his willingness and his eagerness to forgive us, but you've got people in your life who need to understand that God is willing and ready to forgive them. And you need to be bolstered with this message. I just know that God wants to use you in your family, in your context, if it's at work or at school or even in your home. Somebody needs to be reminded that God will forgive them and he will love them. That God seeks opportunities to forgive and to give his love. Amen, guys. Amen. And so let's be bolstered by this. We're going to kind of take this at a different angle today as we jump right in to the teaching this morning. We're going to look at the Old Testament book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 is where we will be here. Jonah chapter 1 in your Bible this morning. And I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3 and revisit this old VBS Bible story from the book of Jonah. And talk about how God is so faithful to forgive us and love us. Verse 1 of Jonah chapter 1 just says this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. Can you guys read that right there? Oh, good. Y'all got some good eyesight in here. God has blessed you. Amen. God has blessed you. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. Arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And then verse number 3. Notice that Jonah did not do what God told him to do. Okay? Here's what the word says. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here's what he did. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. And he went down into the ship, to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice that his answer to God was no. Okay? His answer to God was no, I don't want to do what you want me to do. I want to do what I want to do. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been there before? And so you know the story. The Lord sent a great storm, a great tempest on the sea, so that the ship was tossed to and fro and it was about to be broken up. And verse 5 here says this, that the mariners, that's the crew of the ship, they became greatly afraid. And every man began to cry out to his God, little g God. Okay, in other words, they weren't praying to Jonah's God. They had a false God whom they were praying to that day. And the Bible says they started throwing cargo over the side of the ship to lighten the load. But Jonah knew exactly what was going on in that moment. And here's what he did. The Bible says that he went down into the cabin area of the ship and went to sleep while the storm was going on. So he's just going to sleep right there. Amen, guys? Y'all follow me so far? Y'all know this old story. Verse 6 says this. Verse 6 says that the captain of the ship came down there and he woke up Jonah. And here's what he said. He said, "What do you mean, sleeper?" Called him sleeper. "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise and call on your God." He told Jonah, "We're all praying to our gods, but they're not answering us. So what you need to do is wake up, because you're the only one not praying to your God. And it may be that if you pray to your God, he'll finally hear us and he'll be the one to help us out of this mess." Okay. Notice at this point, they weren't praying to Jonah's God. They're praying to the Canaanite gods. And so they pressed Jonah because it was obvious that he was not one of them. They're all panicking. They're all throwing things overboard. They're trying to figure out what in the world they can possibly do. Whose God did we make mad enough to crash our ship with this huge hurricane? They figured it must be Jonah because he's down there not even panicking. He's asleep. See, Jonah knew exactly what was going on, right, guys? And so he had to explain it to them. So Jonah had to tell them who he was and tell them that he was a Hebrew who served the living God, who actually was the one who made those seas and used those seas to be angry against the ship while he was fleeing from the presence of God. Right. Amen. If you're with me so far, come on, say a good amen this morning. Here's what happened in verse number 10. When Jonah began to explain it to them, here's what they said. In verse 10, "Why have you done this? Now look at the mess we are in because of you. What can we do about it?" And here's what Jonah said in verse number 12. He had so much confidence. He said, "Well, here's what you can do. Pick me up and throw me overboard. Get rid of me. Take me off the ship, and then the sea will start calming down for you." And the Bible says that at that moment, when their lives were on the line, the men on the ship at that moment began to fear the Lord. And they began praying to the Lord. And this was their prayer. "Lord, we realize you're the one that's doing this, so please don't hold it against us when we throw this man off the ship." Amen. Don't hold it against us. And here's what happened in verse number 16, and I love the scripture here in your Bible, if you'll mark this up. It says, "Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly." Isn't it amazing how your faith gets a boost when you're in trouble? Yeah. How many know what I'm talking about? Isn't it amazing you start believing God when your life is on the line? See, right here, the Bible says that they began to fear the Lord exceedingly, and they even offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they took vows. In other words, this morning, thinking about Jonah, these men's lives were spared and they were changed because God meant to use Jonah to change people's lives. Hear me now. Jonah could not stop turning people to the Lord even while he was running from the presence of the Lord. Hear me now, guys. This is a situation where a lot of people need to be bolstered by this concept that if God has something for you to do, you might as well go ahead and stop running and go ahead and get busy doing it. He couldn't stop turning people to the Lord. Even when he was trying to say no to God, God put him in a predicament where his life was going to make a difference. It reminds me of the scripture from Romans chapter number 11, which applies to all of us. It says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." In other words, guys, you cannot escape it. You can't hide from the great work that God has for you to do. God is sovereign and God is powerful. You can't run from his love and you can't resist his plan forever. When he's got something for you to do, eventually you're going to be doing it, whether you like it or not. Come on, somebody. And the truth is, this morning, your life will really not even start making sense to you until you get off of your plan and onto God's plan for your life. How many realize that this morning? If you've ever spent any moment, any time at all, spinning your wheels, trying to figure out what to do, trying to figure out what the will of God is, or trying to figure out how to do what you want to do simultaneously with what God wants you to do, go ahead and give up on your plan and say yes to God's plan, because your life will finally start making sense again. You'll finally get some direction and you'll finally get some peace about how things are going in your life, because his plan is always better than our plan. Amen. It's true. This is a great message for young people today, because listen, if you can go ahead and get that in your heart and your spirit today, you can save yourself a whole lot of wasted years doing things your way. Go ahead and start doing it God's way right now. Amen. Somebody say it right now. Come on. What I'm really interested in this message over the next few minutes is figuring something out. Really unveiling exactly what was going on inside of Jonah that caused him to run in the first place. See, Jonah had a very unique understanding about God that people in the church today need to get in touch with. Jonah knew and he understood something about God's loving kindness. Everybody say loving kindness. Come on. How many realize today God loves you? Amen. I realize that today you hear an awful lot about God's love, but I'm coming from an angle today from a ministry perspective, and this is why, as a pastor who prays for you every day, I want you to understand something about his loving kindness today. If you're here today and you think that God's mad at you, he's not mad at you. He loves you, and he's ready to forgive you. Amen, somebody. Amen. I've heard so many people get discouraged thinking that God is mad at them and he's out to get them over something that they did or something that happened a long time ago. Why don't you just get free of that concept right now and realize that his nature is not to be mad at you and to judge you. His nature is to bless you and forgive you. Come on. Amen. Jonah knew and understood this. That's why he was resistant to be the one proclaiming doomsday over God's people. He didn't want to be preaching judgment because he was going to look foolish when the people turned to God and then God blessed them instead of destroyed them. Come on, somebody. How many realize that's exactly what happens in our life? When we go to him in repentance and we go to him to make it right, he always shows up and he forgives. You know, the Bible says in chapter 3 of Jonah that yes, he finally, you know the story, he went into the great fish, he prayed a great prayer, and then Bible says that the fish vomited him out on dry land, but then he finally answered and said yes to God, and he went to Nineveh and he preached. And the scripture says that they believed God, everyone. In fact, they proclaimed a great citywide fast. They put on sackcloth and ashes, which, you know, in the Old Testament indicated that they were mourning over their own sin. The scripture even says that they even put sackcloth and ashes on their animals. And every one of them in that city turned from their evil ways and they put their trust in God. And God showed them mercy and God showed them blessing. Instead of the judgment that Jonah was sent to preach to them, God changed the destiny. Amen. How many realize this morning that when we involve God and we do things his way and we go to him with great repentance, he will alter circumstances and change the destiny. He'll undo the one condition and give you and your family a different condition. Aren't you glad about that this morning? Be reminded of that this morning, because if you're in here today and you're fearing some great condition, that you're going to reap something, repentance is your answer. It really is. It's getting back with God. It's an understanding that his will and his nature is to forgive. So the message today is this simple. If you are being harassed by that thing that you did, if you're being haunted by the person that you used to be, if you're among those great, precious people of God who still think that God is mad at you about the past, the only thing you have to do is call on God. And he will forgive you and he will bless you and he will set your life in the path of blessing and provision again. Come on, can you receive it this morning? Understand that today, that when you call on him, his tendency and his nature is to create for you a brand new path. That's what he does. As soon as you call on him to make things right before God, even if the adversary, God's enemy, is trying to flood your life with guilt and with shame, and even if you're having a hard time, and this is where a lot of people really land, if you're having a hard time today forgiving yourself. Right. You know, some people don't have any problem at all forgiving others. It's that self-disappointment that really eats away at some of us. It keeps you from sleeping peacefully at night because you're just so disappointed in yourself and just so disappointed and so discouraged about the things that happened. Listen, the answer is call on God. If you're having trouble forgiving yourself, Just know this morning that God is faithful. He's faithful to forgive and to bless and to set you up in brand new life. You just have to call on him and then accept his free gift of life change that he's willing to give in your life based on what he's willing to do for you and what he's already done for you. Aren't you glad? Come on. I love the fact that the teaching this morning is coming out of the Old Testament with this concept of his love. Because a lot of people think that God's nature changed with the appearance of Jesus Christ and that his mercy and grace only came to people once Jesus was here to establish the new covenant. You've probably even heard it before in your life that God has always been about judgment and hellfire and brimstone back in the Old Testament, but that he softened up and started forgiving and being merciful in the New Testament. I've heard that my whole life. I've even heard people say things like, well, I'm glad we serve God now in the new covenant because back then he really let it out on people. The truth is that God has always been about mercy and grace. He's always been willing and eager to come through for people. Nothing could be farther from true is that God changed and went from being judgmental to merciful. No, God has always been about mercy and grace. It's always been our Father's nature. He's always been eager to give mercy, to give grace when people call on him for the grace that they need. Moses, for example. Nobody preached more hellfire and brimstone judgment than Moses against the people of Israel. But Moses is always careful to come back and remind them that if they will turn from their wicked ways and come back to God, God will be faithful to give them the mercy that they need. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, here's what the word said. Moses to Israel, when you are in distress and all these things come upon you in these latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and when you obey his voice, verse 31 says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. It says he will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor will he forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore to them. See, God's nature, even back among the age of the Exodus, was always to restore and to bless and to show mercy. Even though Israel's great history reveals that they were always going back and forth between the world and God. That's what they did. It's what Israel does today. It's what Israel did back then. They'd spend a season on fire for God, and then they'd get distracted and start serving themselves and serving other gods. And then God had to come down with a great warning of judgment. And all the time they'd go, wait a minute, we don't want to incur that great judgment, so we better get back with God. So they'd repent and start serving God again. Yeah. Y'all know anybody like that? Yeah. In and out all the time, back and forth. How many of y'all are like that? Don't raise your hand. I'm just always back and forth. They got themselves in a huge mess. Then they disregard the word of the Lord. And just before reaping that harvest of God's judgment, they would call on the Lord for mercy. And every time they did, God was faithful to withhold the judgment and bless them instead. Moses, he would prophesy all these warnings. But he was always faithful to go back and remind them that God will restore you when you go to him and call on him. Why am I preaching it to church people this morning? Because I want you to understand that there is a religious life that will keep you bound and keep you struggling, thinking that you've got to do a good to make up for your bad. And it'll keep you struggling and keep you limited and keep you in a situation where you're not living under the canopy of God's love and not able to give the love of God to other people. But be free of that religion right now today and realize that the relationship with which Jesus Christ gave his life on behalf of us so that we could be forgiven and establish a new covenant and a relationship with our Heavenly Father, that thing right there is not based on you doing a good to make up for your bad. It is based on him doing the only good that matters so that we could say yes and receive it into our life and then have his righteousness appropriated to our lives by faith. Come on, if you're thankful for it, give him a big praise right now, everybody. Come on, he's good. That's what it's all about tonight. Even as late as Nehemiah in the Babylonian captivity, Israel was still going back and forth. God had arranged for those people to be able to go back and begin to rebuild their walls around Jerusalem, those defensive walls. But in verse 28 of chapter 9, look what happens. But after they had rest, they did evil again before you. Therefore, you left them in the hands of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. And so in verse 28, look what happened. Yet, everybody say yet. This is what I love about the scripture, man. There's so many good yets and ifs. Yet means, you know what? God's about to do something. If his people will do something, yet he will do something different. Praise God. Amen. The Bible says, yet when they returned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your great mercies. Amen. In verse 31, nevertheless, in your great mercy, you did not utterly consume them, nor did you forsake them, for you are God, you are gracious and merciful. Aren't you thankful for his mercy today? Nobody probably preached more judgment than the book of Joel. Joel was a great prophet of God, calling God's people to repentance. And look what he said, skipping down, guys, to Joel chapter 2. Y'all know this story. Looking at his tendency to forgive. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart. That word rend just means to tear. Tear your heart, not your garment. Guys, right there is the training for this moment. This is the attitude, and this is really the discipleship principle that I hope we get across to us today. This is all you have to do. See, all throughout the Old Testament, when people wanted to demonstrate publicly that they were penitent, they would tear their clothes. Yeah. It was an outward sign to let everybody know that you're mourning or you're in repentance or that you're real sorry for something that you did. And people knew to pray for you or leave you alone. But tearing the clothes and having an outward sign of turning to God is not enough with the Lord. That's why he said in Joel chapter 2, don't just tear your clothes so everybody sees what's going on in your life. Instead, tear your heart. Get on the inside. Have that level of returning to God and that level of repentance where only you and God know about it. Those hidden places of your heart. Rend your heart, he said, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Praise God. Sometimes we don't understand that it's his nature to relent from doing harm. So I want to make sure we understand what that word relent here means. When you do the word study, it just means that God relents, just means that he is willing and he is eager to change outcomes on our behalf when we turn to him. In other words, today, God does not want to judge. He's looking for opportunities to avoid giving out judgment. He relents from judging and coming down hard on his people. He turns from those things. He's waiting and watching for his people to come back to him and to begin to receive and live in the boldness of that new life, that canopy of his unfailing love. He loves us so much. This is why I preach this so hard and heavily, because it's the world and the enemy that would have God's children walking around every day believing that because you made a mistake, God's mad at you, and because you got a past that you got to walk on eggshells in your life. Listen, let's go ahead and declare victory right now, because I feel unction right now. This is what Jesus said when he quoted the book of Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim freedom to the captives. There are people who are captive by that religious attitude that I've got to now please God by going around the corner and circling that mountain and doing all this good to make up for the bad. But the freedom here is this. His love has already taken care of all that for you. Come on, somebody. It's the enemy that will have you thinking that you got to do something to make him love you more. He already loves you so much. The Bible says he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. That's what he did. He loved the world so much. He gave it all. Aren't you glad he gives it all today? Real quick, Psalm 107. And I love this. Psalm 107, please read this. It just shows the tendency of God when his people call on him. It begins by saying, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. But when you read this psalm, you'll find out that the people of God, they were always going back and forth. They went back into the darkness, and the scripture says, into the shadow of death. They became bound again in affliction and even in irons, and they rebelled against the words of God. But in verse 13, the scripture says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distresses. Yeah. Then they went back and forth again, serving themselves, doing things their own way, until they were lost for good, it seemed. But every time they got away from God, the Bible says in verse 19, what did they do? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distresses. Yeah. They went back into the world again, and all the way down in verse 28, what did they do? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and God saved them from their distresses. Yeah. See, because of his loving kindness today, lean in. I don't want you to lose here at the very end of the message. Here we go. Here's the issue. Because of his loving kindness, you've got a right to rejoice and give God praise. You've got a right to rejoice. Come on, say that with me. Say, I've got a right to rejoice. That's what the scripture says, Psalm 32:11. It's because of what he did. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. You righteous.
Yeah.
Somebody say, that's me. That's what it calls you. If he's made you righteous, be glad and rejoice in him. Man, it must be why I'm preaching this morning, because I think it's time for some people who have been made righteous to become great at being glad.
Come on, man. Help us, Father.
It's time for people who've been made righteous to become great at rejoicing in what he's already done.
Yes.
Amen. It says, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. See, because he was willing, guys, to do the work of making you righteous, you can be glad, you can rejoice, and you can shout for joy. Here's the principle this morning. Everything in your life might not look like it's time to be glad and rejoice right now. But that's because, here's the reason right now. It's all we need to know. It's because our flesh and our human minds make big, troublesome deals out of stuff that's easy for God to fix. This is why we walk around looking for something to penetrate our minds and stimulate our emotions enough where we can finally get glad and rejoice. We're looking for the worship to be right, for the preaching to be right. We're looking for all the bills to be paid and lined up just right at home. We're looking for our spouse to be in the right mood. We're looking for our kids to always act right. You're looking for all the pain to go away and all the sickness to go away before you can finally be glad and rejoice. When the only prerequisite for his children to rejoicing, the Bible says, is for you to be made righteous by him and for you to be upright in heart. And if those two conditions exist in your life, stop looking to other stimuli to get you going in your faith and just realize, you know what? I don't need anything else to go my way before I express the freedom that Jesus already died to give me. He loved me enough to do it in advance. Come on, y'all getting with me? Here's the issue this morning. He's already fixing stuff, but our flesh is trying to make a big deal out of everything. Amen. Y'all realize God can fix whatever ails you about that quick right there. Come on. There's nothing too hard for God. He loves you that much. Come on, if you receive it today, say, I receive it right now. Give God the best praise we can right now, everybody. Come on. He's worthy. Man, I've been there, guys. I've been there. I've been there where you're looking for things to be okay before you can walk in the identity that Jesus has for you. But you've got a right to rejoice because of his love. I'm going to show you something so peculiar. We're going to end this message today by going back to Jonah for just a moment. We're going to pray. But here it is. Jonah chapter 4 reveals something wonderful about God. Here's what happens. Jonah was embarrassed because God told him to preach destruction. But God did not destroy. Instead, God showed mercy when the people called out to him in repentance. And Jonah didn't like being made to look silly. That's why he was complaining to God. Here's what he said in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 4. This is Jonah to the Lord. He said, I knew that you were going to be gracious and merciful. You told me to go preach destruction, but I knew good and well, as soon as I went and told them that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days, God, you're going to turn around and your love's going to come out. Y'all hear me this morning, y'all. Come on. You are going to turn around and you'll have me preach one thing and you're going to do something else. As soon as they show that they're willing to repent, you're going to start blessing them. And I'm going to look stupid. That's what he said. He said, I knew that you were slow to anger and full of loving kindness. Come on, somebody. I'm not training you this morning on how to feel better about your sin. I'm training us this morning to run to him quickly and receive his gift of forgiveness and give his love to everybody around you. Jonah said this, I knew that you would relent from doing harm. And Jonah was pouting and miserable. Lord, you didn't do what I thought you was going to do. But he did. So here's what God had verse 6, God had a great plan to show Jonah something. Jonah's sitting against a tree or against a rock, something pouting, and God's got a lesson for Jonah. Bible says that God caused a plant to come up while Jonah's pouting there. The plant came up over him and shaded him from the sun. It kind of got over him and made him feel better. Okay, Lord, I see. Give me a little shade. I appreciate that. Okay, I see you still love me. You didn't try to embarrass me. But the Bible says that night, God caused a worm to come up and get up in the tree to eat the roots of the tree and kill the plant. So the next day, the plant was already dead. And Jonah was like, what in the world? I thought you wanted to bless me, and here you go, giving me some shade, but now you done took the shade away. What are you doing? And here's what God did. And this shows us so much about his nature and his tendency toward us, man. Here's what he did. The Lord spoke to Jonah and he said, you pity a plant that you didn't have anything to do with creating. If you pity a plant, God said, how can I not pity Nineveh? That great city of 120,000. And here's what God did. And I'm so glad I'm glad. Aren't you realizing today that God, he knows you've got some issues to work out. Aren't you glad? And he's going to forgive you right on through your issues this morning. I do too, Pastor Mike. I appreciate it. Here's what he did. God kind of made an excuse for him. He said, how can I not pity that great city of 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left? Read it in your scripture, man. They don't know. They don't know what's going on. How can I not pity them? And you got religious people in your life telling you that God's going to crash down on you and judge you and wreck your life because you made a mistake. I'm sorry to get so bold right here, guys, but listen to me. You got religious voices coming into your life telling you that God's nature is to crash down against you and destroy you and everything else because of your past or because of the mistake that you made. You know what? God's nature is probably more like this, looking and saying, well, there you go again. I got to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know their right hand from their left. Come on. Why don't you just bind up and rebuke those satanic voices that are trying to condemn you over the stuff you've already repented of? And quote Romans chapter 8, I cannot be condemned. I cannot be condemned over stuff I've already repented of. Here's the reason why. Because the Bible says that there is therefore now, you're in your new condition. Everybody say now. in your brand new condition of being a child of the living God and having repented of that thing, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you got a religious voice or a dark voice coming against you this morning, why don't you rise up and say, you know what? I forbid that religious garbage to be in my life one more moment. I don't serve a God this morning who's looking to crash down and hammer down on me and judge me. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ain't ready for that, man. Y'all stand up with me, guys. I'm about to tell you something.